on a Friday the 13th.
Yeah, well, those maps ended up all over Europe, and they fell into the hands of Columbus, and Columbus used them to find the New World.
Now, that's interesting.
And he was sure he was searching for a trade route, but I think that was sort of an aside. What he was really searching for is he was searching for the land that existed across the ocean that was prophesied to one day become the New Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
That's what financed everything. So that, and that these Templars were the predecessors to a group known as the Freemasons. And the Freemasons also had this great prophecy as part of their creed. It's I can't go into a lot of depth on that because they hold it sacred, and I'm not going to desecrate that. But I will say this, that when the time of the Revolutionary War happened and the United States was, America was in the forming, we were fighting a nation, Britain, which outnumbered us, outgunned us, had more technology, had unlimited funds, better ships, and highly skilled officers. They could have wiped us out in a summer, but they didn't. I live in North Carolina, and south of here there are some areas where revolutionary battles took place. In one of these battles, the British officers ordered their troops not to fire at the Americans or at the colonialists that were lined up across the field from them. They ordered them to fire into the trees above their heads.
Why?
Because the officers were Freemasons, and they believed in the prophecy that this land would be formed as the New Jerusalem. It would fulfill the prophecy, and any Freemason will gladly sacrifice his life rather than fight against God. So they fired into the trees, and they took the colonial bullets and gave their lives for
the
country.
Oh, my God. I never knew that. That's one of the reasons we won, I guess.
I think it's the main reason we won. Washington was a Freemason.
Yeah, that's true.
And when British officers were captured, their goods were taken to Washington for analysis. And during one of these captures, his officers brought him a bag that had a Freemason symbol on it. And Washington said, "I want you to bring me the officer that goes with this bag." And so they went and they searched for him and they brought him.
Mm-hmm.
Washington and this officer spoke for about 4 hours. And Washington treated that officer with respect, although he was a prisoner of war.
Right.
At the end of the war, that British officer went home to Britain. Later in life, he became ill, and he was about to die. And he requested that George Washington come and prepare him for burial. And he went. This was because the two men were Freemasons.
They were that close.
Yes.
What do you think's in the Hall of Records, Brooks?
I think there are a lot of these secrets there. And there are several Halls of Records. One is expected to be under one of the feet of the Sphinx.
Right.
The other is in a place in the Yucatan called Piedras Negras. It's a cave. In front of the cave, there's a pyramid. Under the pyramid, there's an older pyramid. It's a local legend that under that pyramid, there's a Hall of Records. Now, this place is not a tourist place. You have to go deep into the jungle, several days down whitewater rivers, and camping along the side to get to this place.
Did it take them a while to find it?
Yes, it did. And the mask that's outside of that, this is one of the ways that my co-author made her mark in archaeology. The mask was originally photographed, and it was published by an archaeologist who I won't name, but he published the picture upside down. And the picture looked like a jaguar, so he published it as a jaguar
mm-hmm.
mask. My co-author made this trip and went there and looked at the mask and found that he had photographed it upside down. And right side up, it looks like a dragon. Well, this has a completely different meaning in that area, because the dragon, or the serpent, is a symbol of the creative life force. And caves are epicenters of these life vortexes in South America. And this is why temples were built where they were built. And all over Europe, it's the same way. Avebury, Roslyn Chapel. All of these ancient sites with tremendous power and purpose are built at these epicenters or intersections of these vortexes of power.
Well, you're one of the few physicists who has really studied Earth events.
Well, I got my start doing radio tomography, using radio waves to look into the Earth, basically look for elements, look for breaks in the strata, look for electromagnetic fissures in the ground. And that's where I became interested in these, oh, call them ley lines or call them magnetic fissures in the ground. And I had pretty sophisticated equipment. These ancients didn't have such equipment.
and they found them, right.
Somehow they were able to detect them. And we believe that these records that go in these halls are kept away from mainstream people because they could be misused.
Well, that's true. Do you think in these records there's also some high technology in there?
Yes, I do. One of the things that was in the flying scrolls that the Templars were looking for, and we believe because of the sudden growth in their wealth they found, was the ability to turn base metals into gold. Some kind of alchemy existed in that technology, and the Templars were able to master that. And they went from virtual obscurity to tremendous wealth and power in the space of 7 years. That's the reason Philip the Fair went after him.
Well, let me tell you something. You may have come upon something with that, too, because I've always wondered how the Knights Templar got so much power so fast.
Well, they had special knowledge, and they tapped into records that contain technology that we don't have today.
All right, stay with us, Brooks. I'll tell you what we're going to do.